This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
My cat has food and water, and yet she insists on coming over and rubbing up against me. And if she's going to do this for the entirety of the show, it's going to bug me.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so. Hey, you watch any wrestling this week at all?
Yes, I did.
Anything worth talking about?
I watched one fantastic wrestling event.
Yes, and then you probably watched some other not as fantastic wrestling events.
You know what? There was a second one that was slightly okay.
Yeah? What was that?
SmackDown?
Ah, I see. I see where we're going with this one.
Yeah.
You know, NXT was pretty phenomenal.
Yes, it absolutely was.
You know, like, and... You know, okay, so I don't know if you want to break down every match or not, or just leave it at NXT was pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, we can break down those matches because they're worth talking about.
Okay, I can get behind that. So Johnny Gargano obviously opened the show.
Yeah.
Him and Cien Almas, and, you know, I had picked Almas winning, but I was actually still pretty surprised by it.
Yeah, you know what? I think I said this to you in maybe in a group chat or something, that when they first brought in Almas,
yep,
and he was hyped to the moon, and, you know, like, he won the first match. I forget what takeover the first one he showed up at was.
Yep.
Just like, oh, you know what? He's okay, but, like, I didn't see anything fantastic.
Yep.
And then for the last year or so, it's just been kind of okay.
Still haven't seen what they're talking about, yeah.
This match, I see what they were talking about.
Yep. Yeah, no, this
is fantastic.
Pretty fantastic match. You know, I mean, obviously, Gargano is really, really good in the ring. And yeah. I love his selling. Like, it's, you know, they always praise Ricky Morton as being one of the top babyface sellers because of just the expressions on his face and everything else. And Gargano, you know, I mean, he might even be better than Ricky Morton. You know, just the way he registers, you know, the way he sells what's going on. It's pretty awesome.
And not only that, but he doesn't oversell to the point of ridiculousness.
Right. Right.
You know, like, there's some people that are really good in the ring and they're really good at selling stuff, but sometimes they take it just a little too far.
Yep.
And you're just like, you know what? That's kind of crazy.
See, that happened at my last Limitless Wrestling event I went to. We had Maxwell Jacob Feldman against Sammy Callahan, and they did an injury angle where Feldman hurt his ankle or knee or something like that.
Okay.
And Callahan sold it really well. We're like, the referee, you know, he went to go in, the referee's like, no, stay back, and then he actually came over and checked on him, and he was like, damn it, and he started taking his wrist tape after a couple minutes. You know, he took his wrist tape off, and he was talking to the fans, and he said, I'm sorry, I'll come back. You know, I'm sorry. This, you know, this is obviously not how I wanted this to go. You know what I mean? He was like, but Feldman was being so over the top with his crying, quote unquote, if you will, that it was just like, it's, you know, it's, he's, yeah, I don't believe him.
Right.
It was almost like slapsticky. He was being so ridiculous. That, as awesome as Callahan was doing it, selling the injury, whatever, that Feldman just was like, yeah, he completely took me out of it. I had no thought whatsoever that this actually might be legit. So,
right.
But anyhow, so yeah, great opening match on NXT on TakeOver.
And not only that, that was, I mean, that night I think was the best crowd in ages.
Yeah. The crowd was really, really good. As a matter of fact, on SummerSlam, the crowd didn't start getting good or really into the show until basically the AJ Styles Kevin Owens match.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like the crowd was dead all night until that match. And then finally in that match, I felt like they kind of, they popped up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were starts and stops.
Yeah.
I think it started off, like, when Cena came out, it started off pretty hot.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, there was just so much. Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there. But. A great way to open the show. Second match on the card, Sanity defeating the Authors of Pain for the tag team titles.
Yeah,
it's the best Authors of Pain match I've seen when Revival or DIY weren't in the ring.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Pretty sure the best one I saw involved those guys.
Well, that's what I mean. That didn't involve. Yeah. This is the best AOP match I've seen that didn't involve those teams.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sanity really pulled a great match at him, but it was fast, high intensity, high impact the whole time.
And I really enjoyed the little swerve with who the partner was going to be.
Yeah, that was really cool. I liked that. I liked how they did that myself. Yes.
Yeah, I got into a little bit of an argument with your cousin over it.
Oh, really?
Because he's like,
why was Paul wrong?
That's ridiculous. He can't come into the match. And I go, no, they never announced a partner.
Yep.
They never, like, he wasn't involved in any way. The two guys were standing on the ringside.
Yep.
They tagged in the other one, the one you weren't expecting.
Exactly.
And he came in.
Yep.
And that was fantastic.
Yep.
You know, it's like that's the kind of stuff I miss from when I was a kid.
It's great psychology because –
yeah.
You know, you're right. They jumped him from the get-go, so they never officially rang the bell straight away either. They never officially announced, you know, who was going to be in the match. The assumption was it was going to be Wolf and Dane because that's who'd been teaming. You know, I mean, that's who'd been and the angle was involved in mostly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was those guys. And Young's been kind of the manager, but no, you know, Young was the other part. I thought it was great. I think New Day needs to do stuff like that more often.
Yeah. You know what? I'm kind of surprised that they haven't.
Yeah.
You know, like now that you see that it's kind of a possibility.
Yeah. They probably just didn't think of it. You know what I mean? Probably Eric Young thought of it. Hey, let's do this. Let's try this out.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I thought it was a great tag team match. I mean.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's five matches on the card, five solid matches that were well built over the last several weeks on NXT television, you know. And I guess if I were to pick an order of best to least, none of them would be the least best. I mean, well, none of them would be bad. But like the one that I thought that I liked the least was the main event. But I still loved it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I still really enjoyed the match. I just, but, like, of all the matches, that was the one I kind of liked the least. I thought.
Yeah, I mean, for me.
Yeah.
I think the world title and the tag match are probably about the same.
Yep.
I thought the Asuka Ember Moon match was amazing.
Yes. Especially later when you find out that Asuka broke a collarbone early
broke
in the
a
match.
Collarbone. Yeah. Crazy.
How tough is that woman?
You know, I think it goes that match, then the Gargano match.
Yep.
Then the Aleister Black match.
Yep.
And then, I mean, either one, the tag or the world title.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with your order. Aleister Black, Hideo Itami. Black's entrance was awesome.
Yeah, you know what? That reminds me. What was the deal with the band at the beginning of the show?
I don't know.
if I have one complaint over NXT, it was that they made me watch that band play some song.
Yeah, I'm trying to blank it out.
For NXT.
Yeah.
And the way I kept laughing at the way they were filming the whole thing.
Yeah.
That they're trying to make it seem like there's a giant crowd at the stage where the band is playing. But then they do like the aerial shot and there's like six people standing by the stage.
Right.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Well, I don't think people had access to the stage anyways, based on what
they
were.
Well, I'm sure they probably let a few people in, kind of like Super Bowl halftime show. They're like, yeah, go run on the field and then go away.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a fantastic match itself. You know,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, they were pummeling the hell out of each other.
Hell yeah, they were. And then the finish.
Yeah.
When he hit the Black Mass, I mean, like, I think he made some pretty solid contact to the face with that kick.
Oh, yeah.
But it was fantastic. You know, Hideo was running his mouth, and all of a sudden, just boom!
Yeah.
Kicked, you know, just knocked out. It was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hold on a second. Hello? My daughter's staying at her friend's, wanted to call and say goodnight. Anywho, so Asuka Ember Moon.
I mean, you said that was the best that you've seen the Authors of Pain.
Yeah, sorry. Yes.
This was absolutely the best that I've seen Ember Moon.
You know, honestly, I had talked on the show and I talked to you guys or whatever on our message chat talking about how I didn't find Ember Moon a believable competitor, or you know what I mean. I didn't buy her winning the belt from Asuka. I didn't. To me, there was nothing I'd seen so far in her time in NXT that makes me believe that she is, you know, stood a chance. She certainly did Saturday night. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, there were a couple points in that match that I did not think Asuka would kick out.
Yep. I mean, especially right off at the beginning, you know. The way they hot shot at the opening with her getting that big blow in straight away, you know, getting the upper hand and then just going at Asuka pretty intensely. It was just like, whoa, hey, you know, obviously, you know, Asuka, she does the little things that show her arrogance, especially lately she has, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather be dancing along to her music when the ring announcer was introducing her in the match, how she, you know what I mean? Mouthing along with him or whatever, in a very sarcastic way where she shows that she takes her opponents lightly. And so she got caught at the beginning of the match for it. But holy crap. I honestly, by the end of the match, I was surprised Asuka retained, because before the match started, I had no doubt that she was going to retain the title. Like, I didn't think it was going to be time yet. And then, like you said, midway through, I was like, oh man. She might actually lose. She might actually lose.
there were definitely I can't think of which one off the top of my head right now, but there was one sequence where I was like, damn, Asuka's about to lose this belt.
Yep.
But, you know, then she kicked. But, yeah, that like you said, with Ember Moon, I haven't been that impressed.
Yep.
But this match definitely, you know, I mean, do I think that she's fully on that level yet? I don't know.
Yep.
But, you know, like with NXT, you always kind of have to wonder, do they have – I mean, they usually have people who are ready to step up.
Right.
Once people move up to the main roster.
Yep.
And, like, it looks like the women's division is just about there for when Asuka goes.
Oh, they got a lot of talented ladies on the women's division now as it is. And then with this Mae Young Classic starting up –
Yeah.
In 4 days, which I can't wait for. I'm very excited about it. You know, with that finally starting up, I mean, you know, hell.
Yeah.
It's, you don't know how many they're going to pull out of that, you know, and add to the roster. But right now, she doesn't have a challenger.
Right.
You know, with I don't know if you want to call this a definitive win against Moon, but this is, you know, two pay-per-views in a row or two takeovers in a row where she's beat her.
Right.
So it's, you know, yeah. And the first one, she cheated. And then, you know, with the referee. And then this time she tried to cheat again and got caught. That's when I thought, okay, she's losing the belt.
Exactly.
She got caught holding the trunks and everything. And that's when I thought, okay, she's losing the belt. But nope, she came back and tapped her out. So...
Yep.
It wasn't a quick pin, wasn't a small package. It was, you know, she tapped her out. That's a definitive victory right there. You know, that wasn't, she caught her. So, but then with the injury, you know, they're saying she's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. I don't see why they need to strip her of the title.
No, they won't.
You never know, but I don't see how they need to. I mean, they just can have her on.
The next takeover is 3 months.
November, yeah. So there's plenty of time for her to heal up and come back for that. And hell, Brock Lesnar hasn't been on TV. You know, wasn't on TV from WrestleMania, defending his title until the paper, you know, until July. So,
yeah,
you know, if he can go 3 months, she can go 3 months. So
yeah, and I mean, she, the way that NXT is structured, she can still show up on TV and yep. and build to something without actually having the match.
See, for this at least,
you know, she doesn't have to get in the ring for another 2 months easy.
See, this is why I think the NXT TakeOver shows are so much better than the pay-per-view the next day. And it's because NXT isn't overexposed right now. They have the one-hour weekly show a week. They do a combination of job matches or enhancement talent matches with headliner matches. They tell, you know, they enhance, they further their storylines. But they have that 1 hour each week to tell that story, so their stories are spread out further. Their pay-per-views are spread out further apart, if you will, with the takeover events. So they have more time to build a very solid five-match card.
Not only that, but each week on NXT,
yeah,
you don't necessarily see the same people every
exactly.
week.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean by they only have an hour to tell their story. So,
right.
You know, they kind of they do it sort of the way like they like Monday Night Raw used to be, the Superstars of Wrestling used to be. You know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. you would use Raw in a lot of the same way to build towards that pay-per-view every couple of months. And even then, when they had the month, even when they went to a monthly pay-per-view, the In Your Houses were advertised as being smaller, lesser pay-per-views, but they still yeah. didn't have the overexposure like they do now. I mean, yes, they've split the rosters, but a pay-per-view every month, 3 hours every Monday, 2 hours every Tuesday. I mean, I think there's just too much overexposure. And the rosters are actually pretty thin if you think about it.
But at the same time, though,
yeah,
every week there's still two or three people that don't show up.
That's what I mean. Know? Like you would think like, they would have the missing, time.
You could be missing, you know, a handful of people every week.
Yep.
And sometimes it's the same people for a few weeks, so maybe they're nursing an injury or maybe something. But like in the case of Dolph Ziggler, he just came back again, you know, basically talking about the, you know, I'm underappreciated, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is what he always does when he comes back. But like, did they really need to show 700 Jinder Mahal interviews?
No.
They could have had Ziggler out having matches.
Yep.
You know, like you could have, you got to split it up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's where the difference comes because you have NXT has more time, has mm-hmm. more time between big events. And then at the same time, less weekly time to tell their stories, but manages to tell their stories enough so that when the pay-per-view comes around, they have five solid matches that each match you're looking forward to seeing, and each one is going to tell a great story or finish out a great story. Whereas you right. have SummerSlam, which has 13 matches on it with the pre-show and the event itself. And
yeah, 6.5 hours.
Yeah. And NXT uses their show to finish and begin a story, whereas SummerSlam, a lot of their matches are just continuing the story.
Right, and the big pay-per-views used to be all the blow-offs.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's actually one reason why I like NXT so much.
Because it reminds you of wrestling like when we were a kid.
Right, you know, that you have, like you said, the weekly show. And I mean, on Superstars or whatever, you never got the marquee matches.
Very rarely.
Very, very rarely.
Very rarely. And you can probably, like, if you're like me, you remember them. Like, you remember when, like, I remember Diesel beating Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title in Superstars. I remember yeah. Hulk Hogan teaming up with Paul Orndorff to take on the Moondogs and Orndorff, you know. I remember the next week when Hogan teamed up with Orndorff to take on Bundy and Stud. Stud and Patera, whatever. And Orndorff turned on Hogan, you know, and pile drove him. Like, they didn't happen on Superstars.
Right.
So it stands out.
Yeah, like, that's why, you know, when you have Earthquake crushing Damien building up to the match with Jake Roberts.
Yep.
When you had, you know, like, all that stuff.
Yep.
You know, it felt bigger, you know, but when you have, you know, on Monday Night Raw, remember, there was a time for, like, 6 straight months that the show would start off with Stephanie McMahon coming out and yelling about something.
Yep.
And then the same people would come out and they'd have a big confrontation and you're just like, all right, it's enough already. This is 35 minutes of the show.
Yep. Well, we, you know, as much as I love watching AJ Styles against Kevin Owens, we don't need it every single SmackDown. and every SmackDown pay-per-view.
Well, I mean, come on. We kind of... maybe.
Okay, yeah, but you know what I mean, though? Like...
You know what, though?
What?
Even with those two, their matches have all been good.
Yep.
But there hasn't been a match yet between the two of them where I've been like, yes.
Blown away?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been like, wow, that was a good solid match, but yeah.
You know, like, I think part of it is that 90% of the rest of the show is garbage.
Yep.
So, like, their match really stands out. But I think if you put that up against, like, some of the best matches of the past couple of years, I'm not really sure.
SmackDown a couple
weeks. You know, because it seems...
Go ahead.
It seems that they're trying to tell more of the, oh, Shane McMahon is getting involved story during yep. all of their matches than they're actually trying to have the match.
Right, right. No, there was a really good episode of SmackDown on a couple weeks back where you had Rusev against Chad Gable, Styles against Owens, and Shinsuke Nakamura against John Cena. That was a...
That oh, was, yeah.
I mean, that was better than SummerSlam. You know?
Yeah.
If you look at SmackDown's contributions to SummerSlam, that episode of SmackDown was better than SummerSlam. And then just to finish out NXT, excuse me, Drew McIntyre and Bobby Roode.
Yeah, you know what? I always forget how tall Drew McIntyre is.
Me too. And, like, he is very tall.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, Roode isn't that short, is he? He's got to be, like, 6'2", 6'3",
maybe? No, he's not. And McIntyre kind of towers over him a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, like, when they were standing by each other, I'm looking, I'm like, God damn, I'm like, even, like, either Roode is, like, 5'5",
yeah.
or...
McIntyre like, he's deceptively tall.
Yeah.
you forget. And maybe he has lifts in his boots. Who knows? Yeah. It says here he's 6'5".
McIntyre?
Yeah.
God damn. How tall is Roode?
I'm looking.
Let me get it. It's going to say like 5'11".
It says that he is 6 foot.
No, there's no way there's only a 5-inch difference the way those two were standing by each other.
Maybe it could have been – maybe the camera angle helped out with that. Who knows?
Could have been. Yeah, true.
Yeah. But, you know, Bobby Roode loses the belt. I was actually kind of surprised about that. But then he debuted on SmackDown Tuesday, so I guess that makes sense.
Yep.
McIntyre's champion. And then, obviously, you know, a couple of cool things happened during the show. I don't feel like anything stole the show.
Or you could be like Ronnie – who turned it off right after the title match.
No, he didn't see Adam Cole.
I was talking to him throughout the entire pay-per-view. And
that's awesome.
You know, like after the Sanity winning the belts and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly came out.
Yep.
We were like, oh, hell yeah, that's awesome. And I was like, oh, it really sucks, though, that, you know, they came out. So Adam Cole's not going to come out tonight.
Right.
And then
all right.
So the world title.
Yeah.
Changes hands. You know, Roode walks out. McIntyre's got the belt. And then I guess Ronnie turned it off. And I'm like, because I start texting.
Never turn it off until the thing pops up on the screen.
I start messaging him just like a billion exclamation marks. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He's like, what? That McIntyre won the belt? And I was like, holy shit. What? He's like, oh my God, did something happen? I was like, just fucking turn it on and watch the last 5 minutes. I'm not going to say anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so fantastic.
So, you know, Red Dragon, both Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly have already debuted in NXT and had matches on NXT. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I wonder if they're going to team them together or not. And then they did. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I did not know they signed with NXT. I'm about like 3 or 4 weeks behind.
Yeah.
On the NXTs. I wanted to try and catch up before the takeover, but I just didn't have a chance. And so I had no idea. So like when they showed up, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, I can't believe these guys are here. And Ryan's like, oh yeah, they were on like last week. I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They,
right,
they
well,
have
that's
been.
Still awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah. And then Adam Cole came out afterwards to jump Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
And somebody in a group I'm on, you know, they were like, oh, Adam Cole stole the show. And I argued that No, he didn't. These matches were way too good for one guy to walk out and stand in the ring and say he stole the show because he stood in the ring. Like,
you know what he did do, though?
Said Adam Cole Bebe?
The loudest Adam Cole Bebe that I have ever heard in my life.
It sounded like
he was microphone.
It was him. Like, I feel like it was all him saying it because I didn't see the crowd. Yeah. If he would have done it in the ring and you could have seen the crowd reacting with him, that'd be one thing. But, like, he was very loud when he said it, yes.
Oh, yeah.
It caught me off. Okay. I'm so used to not being able to hear him say it because the crowd's saying it that hearing him say it threw me for a loop. Sincerely, you know? But yeah, like, I thought it was cool that Red Dragon is going to be teaming together. But the three of them staying together, like, all right, I understand. Back in 2009 and 2011, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly were Future Shock, and they were a tag team together, and blah, blah, blah. But guess what? That was 6 years ago. Just 8 months ago, they were having a very violent feud over the Ring of Honor World's Heavyweight Championship that they traded back and forth, you know? And
But this is NXT and not Ring of Honor.
Right. So seeing them stand in the ring together, it doesn't make me go, oh, my God, there's guys that hated each other, but they were in Ring of Honor, and now they're here. Yay. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't – seeing them together didn't throw me. Like, if Cole would have just come out, cool. Red Dragon just coming out, cool. There was no way any of those three guys stole the show just because they did a run-in because the show was too damn good for them to do it. The matches were too damn good for them to do it.
If they did that the next night, they probably would have stolen the show.
You know, like, if they would have done it on NXT, like Wednesday night or something, yes, absolutely. Because the rest of the, like, the show was just too good. It was too good.
Oh, no, I meant if they came out at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, if they came out at SummerSlam. So, did you watch NXT this week at all?
Not yet.
Okay, so the matches this week were taped at Brooklyn Takeover. Okay. You know how they do that? They'll tape some matches either before or after the Takeover special.
Yep.
I believe they taped them after because the before we had the live pre-show and everything.
Right.
So, you know, we got a Sarah Logan against Billie Kay.
Okay.
That was a solid women's match. I think it was better than any of the women's matches that were on SummerSlam. And then we got...
Billie Kay's impressed me lately.
She's good. But then we got Mustache Mountain... Trent Seven and Tyler Bate against Pete Dunne, and I'm trying to think of Wolfgang. Pete Dunne and Wolfgang.
Okay.
Which what's hilarious to me is Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven, they're a trio called British Strong Style. So they've been a faction for a couple of years now. And so it's always funny that in NXT they're wrestling each other all the time.
Hmm.
But anyways, damn good match. Damn good match, and the crowd was hot for him.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's you'll enjoy that when you finally get around to watching it. So I guess we kind of need to talk about SummerSlam.
Yep.
I don't. So I made some brief notes on each match. Cena pinned Corbin with the AA.
Are we skipping the pre-show?
Yeah, I didn't watch the pre-show straight away. I watched it after. Do you want to talk about the pre-show?
I mean, may as well.
Okay.
Talk about all nine fans in the crowd when.
Yeah, wasn't the Hardys that awkward? I love all the memes about how the Hardys, like, you know.
Yeah, took all the TNA's fans with them.
Well, no, like,
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that one. I saw the one where, like, the Hardys, TNA's keeping their broken gimmick, so the Hardys took their gimmick of 75 fans in attendance at a house show or this and that and everything. And from what I read. What happened was they opened the doors at 6 o'clock for a 6:15 match. And so they still did the match
on... No, it was at 5.
Huh?
It was at 5.
Sorry, yeah, 5 o'clock. I'm sorry, that's right. It didn't start at 8, it started at 7, so 5 o'clock, yeah. But they opened the doors at 5 o'clock, and they had a match scheduled for 5:15, and they still did the match.
Yep.
Because, you know, we don't want to interrupt any pre-tape segments we have laid out.
Yeah.
So they have a match with, like, you know, a bomb scare attendance. I mean, like, isn't that – this is a WWE show. This is SummerSlam, and you're watching the match
Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, and you're and the Hardy Boys, and you're watching a match. There's friggin' nobody in the crowd.
Yeah, kinda like, crazy. At first, I didn't really know – the way that they shot, I guess, the Miz Taraj coming to the ring.
Yep.
You didn't really see the crowd.
Yep.
But when the Hardys came down and, like, they didn't even run over to the crowd to slap five.
There's no one to run over to.
And you notice that there's, like, one guy sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
And, like, three more over here. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. Craziness.
Yeah.
Did you see – you watched SmackDown, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Not SmackDown, Raw. You saw the Miz's promo.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah. I said it before.
Oh, yeah.
He is, like – criminally underrated.
Yes, I agree. Until he said it, I didn't realize he's been there for 12 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think
he's been there that long. But yeah, no, what an unbelievably awesome promo. And there was some real anger in his voice, and you could tell. And that's, you know, for all things Mick Foley, like, one of the things he said is, like, when he's cutting a promo, if he's drawn on something that happened in real life that's made him angry, like, it's that much better of a promo, and that's clear from this promo.
Yeah, well, it's also – it's just about the one-year anniversary of when he and Daniel Bryan got into the fight.
Yes.
On Talking Smack.
Which didn't make any sense because he couldn't – Daniel Bryan couldn't
– Right.
Russell can't do anything.
Right.
At least at that time.
It's so. Like in the last year – The Miz has really been on a tear with his promos.
Yeah, and the match itself wasn't bad. Miz and the Miztourage against the Hardys and Jason Jordan.
Right. The ending confused me.
Yeah, well.
Like, I mean, look, I get you have the IC champ.
Yeah.
But non-title match, six-man tag match, you're trying to build Justin Jordan up.
Jason Jordan.
Yeah, Jason
say his
Jordan.
Name right, Jesus.
I don't know. Well, I mean, that's how excited I am about him.
There you go.
Who the hell's Justin Jordan?
I don't know.
Oh, he's a comic book writer.
Okay.
But yeah, Jason Jordan, you're trying to build him up so you have him take a clean loss?
Yeah, he lost on Monday night too, but then again, you know, look who he wrestled, so.
Right, but I mean, you know, you could have had
Jordan get the pin on the Miz, and they could build towards a future IC title match.
Yeah, or I mean, if they had to have the Miz get the pin,
yep.
Like either the Hardys, like the Hardy Boys can lose every single match, and people will still be like, "Oh my God, it's the Hardy Boys."
Yep, yeah, that's not gonna hurt them. Neville defeated Tozawa to regain the Cruiserweight title.
Like, why even put the belt on Tozawa for 4 days?
Didn't make any sense. That was stupid.
I thought for sure he was going to win and that it was going to start up a thing, and I guess not.
Nope. The Usos defeated the New Day to retain the titles.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Let's just keep passing the tag belts back and forth.
That surprised me a lot. That was a good match, though. It was a good match.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave Meltzer gave it 4 stars.
Oh. I mean, is he doing that in comparison to other 4- and 5-star matches, or is he doing that in comparison to SummerSlam? Because based off of SummerSlam, that was like a 7.5-star match.
they went for a pre-show match. They went 20 minutes. It surprised me. You know, they went about, you know, that it's a really long time for a pre-show match. And it actually, other than the main event, which only went a minute longer, it was the longest match on the show.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, their match went about a minute less. But, you know, so. Then we get to the actual pay-per-view itself. Everyone's in their seats. And we got John Cena and Baron Corbin. And the note I made on this was Cena won easily after a single AA. Doesn't feel like Corbin was elevated here. And it wasn't a bad match. It just was super basic.
Yep.
And then I read that Corbin's got heat. And his attitude backstage has been poor, and he's being punished. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but kind of makes sense.
I saw that, but then I also saw a ton of things saying that none of that's true.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, who knows?
Exactly, who knows? But at the end of the day, to me, it looked like he definitely wasn't elevated here. And again, it wasn't a bad match. It was just super basic, so it wasn't thrilling. Then we already got this.
And why does he lose the cash in and then lose so easy on a pay-per-view?
Well, that's why you almost want to believe that, okay, maybe he is being punished.
Right, but like it seems like at the same time,
yeah,
if you're going to punish a guy like that, isn't it kind of being short-sighted? Like, if you're going to give a guy the Money in the Bank briefcase, obviously you have big plans for him.
Yep.
So why the hell would you be like, you know what? Screw him. He's going to drop this. He's going to lose every match. He's going to do that because it kills all of your future plans.
Maybe they want to build him, break him down to build him up again.
Maybe.
Natalya beat Naomi.
Don't care.
SmackDown Women's title. All right, so these are my notes. I hate that freaking bell. Jump-starting the match, the bell. That slingshot suplex on the apron into the post, that was a pretty good spot. I guess someone must have been watching Asuka and Moon last night. But, of course, after that hotshot opening, they didn't know what to do, and it went right back to crap. I will say the one move I thought was pretty cool was when Naomi did the head scissors into the DDT type of thing.
Didn't see it.
It was actually kind of impressive. And then at the end, Natalya was trying to do a reversal into a sharpshooter, and it
tanked.
Which
was totally awkward.
Yeah, and then JBL commented how it was so incredibly done, and I'm like, no, JBL, he is losing so much credibility with me with the way he is just blatantly putting stuff over the top, selling it, that you can just, visually see it's not as good as what he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't give two shits about this match. I'm glad Natalya won, though.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
And the fact that Naomi's sitting bawling, I'm like, you were barely a champion. You had zero defenses against any credible opponents.
Yeah, every pay-per-view leading up to this one was them trying to find you an opponent.
Yeah, and she had matches against, oh, look, Lana, it's her first match ever. Let's give her a title shot. Like, really? Come on. But I just thought of something, the Corbin-Cena match.
Yeah.
One thing that I didn't like is how he kept doing that slide out of the corner and run back in the corner to go. Like, the first time he did it and he hit the clothesline, that was awesome.
Yep.
The second time he did it and Cena reversed it or whatever it was, I'm just like, all right. The third time he did it, right before he lost the match, I was like, are you fucking kidding me with this?
Yeah, that's kind of a you do that for one match type of thing.
You know, that would be like Dean Ambrose doing that thing where he falls out the ropes and bounces back
Jesus,
to the ropes.
Stupid
like
slingshot crappy thing he does.
Yeah, like 18 times in a match.
Yeah. Such garbage. Okay, so we went from one match I don't care about, but I'm glad not to see that stupid glowing belt anymore, to a match that is free, that was freaking garbage, never should have been any place near the SummerSlam card. If it was, it should have been on the pre-show, and that was Cass against Big Show with Enzo in a cage above the ring.
Yes, that was...
Can you explain the logic to me where Enzo is looking at Cass while Show is down, and Cass is watching Enzo oil himself up and squeezing out between the bars of the cage to immediately be kicked in the face and sell dead?
Are you talking about why Cass didn't just pin Big Show?
Right. Why didn't he just pick Big Show through that whole thing?
Because, and this is what was driving me nuts. I mean, at least in one way, at least there was a payoff with him greasing himself up and slipping through the ropes.
Yeah, but that should have been done when Cass wasn't watching him the whole time.
What I'm saying, but for the whole first, that match seemed like it was about 4 minutes long. For the first half of the match, and the match is trying to go on, but you see Enzo dancing like an idiot and whatever up top. I'm like, oh my God, this is so freaking obnoxious.
They went 10 and a half minutes.
No way.
Yeah.
That was 10. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'll never have those 10 minutes back.
Yeah, I know, right?
But I'm like, my goodness, like, stop drawing attention to yourself. The whole point is there's a match below you.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he starts taking off his clothes, and I was like, are you kidding me with this? But, it wasn't funny. If Vince thought, oh, this will be funny if he does this, it didn't come off that way. It was really obnoxious.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. I thought it was dumb. I thought it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, not a fan.
And then we get Randy Orton beating Rusev in 10 seconds. Yeah.
I think I figured it out.
Yeah, what's that?
I think Randy Orton has lost every single match he's been in for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
That they needed to give him a win.
Yep, sure.
And Rusev used to be this unbeatable monster.
Yep.
And he's lost every single match he's been in for the last, like, year.
Sure.
And they needed to give him another loss.
Right. So it's a 13-match card. I figured it had to be one match. Wasn't going to go very long. Figured this one would go longer than 10 seconds. I actually really dug the opening where he ran in and where they, you know,
and just started beating him.
Yeah, I thought that was great. And then they get in the ring and they ring the bell and he, you know, reverses and hits the RKO. It's kind of like, that was explosive. He gets the pin. All right. You know, that Sheamus kicking Daniel Bryan in the face at WrestleMania type of thing. It's a quick pin. They can have another match out of this. So, okay. All right. Don't completely hate it, but whatever. The thing is Rusev has really showed us, like, he's really good in the ring. Like, he actually is a, you know, pretty damn good, but, like, he just doesn't.
I don't remember.
Well, that's the thing is he gets to show it with guys like Gable. And then when they put him in big matches with, like, Cena, Orton, you know, whoever, he loses.
Hmm.
So, here we go. Next up, Sasha Banks defeated Alexa Bliss with a bank statement to win the Raw Women's Championship.
Didn't care.
I was surprised that they had both women's matches on so early in the card. I mean, for the actual main SummerSlam show, both ladies' matches were in the first half of the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the finishing sequence was super anticlimactic. Crowd really wasn't into this, and I wasn't ready to see Bliss not be the champion anymore.
Yeah, I think she's going to win it back this week on Raw.
She'll win it at the next Raw pay-per-view, whatever that is, probably.
No, she has a rematch this week.
Oh, that's right. She has a rematch coming up. Yeah, she probably will then. Finn Balor.
To be honest, it looked like Sasha Banks hurt her shoulder, like legit hurt her arm or something in the match.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess not. I guess not because, I mean, she came out, she was moving it around a lot and she's fighting next week.
Yep.
But like at the end of the match, she was holding, I mean, for a bunch of the match, she was holding her arm to her body. And I know, you know, oh, she's selling an injury or whatever.
Good sell job, yeah.
But at the end, after she tapped her out and she's laying there and her arm is really tight into her side.
Yeah.
And the referee, I swear I saw this. I mean, I could have just been delirious from the horrible garbage that happened beforehand. But I swear I saw the ref go, "Are you okay?" And she said, "No, I don't think so."
Yep.
And then he signaled something.
Okay.
But then it cut away and went to something else. So I'm like, oh, maybe I didn't see that. I don't even know.
Okay. Maybe I'll go back and check it out. Probably not. I'll take your word for it. Finn Balor against
Bray
Wyatt.
That's the only reason I haven't gone back and verified.
I've actually rewatched NXT TakeOver 3 in its entirety.
Mm.
Finn Balor against Bray Wyatt. The match went 10 minutes, 40 seconds. Their entrances went 11 minutes, 12 seconds. So, that's not an accurate number. But anyways, I wasn't impressed with this match. I thought,
nope.
I like that the Demon has a different, like, Titantron video and a different logo than Finn Balor. So it's, you know, he's two different people. So that's kind of neat. But the match felt shorter than it was. And, like, Finn's paint didn't even wear off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He
didn't. I was thinking,
like,
that.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't even see where any paint's been worn off. And it wasn't like if the match was bad. It wasn't thrilling. And again, I mean, like, a couple other matches on this show, it was just, like, kind of basic. Like, okay. It was, you know, it was like a house show match or something. Like, we got to see Finn hit his big moves, and the crowd went home happy because their favorite guy won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rollins and Ambrose defeated Sheamus and Cesaro to win the Raw Tag Team Championships.
I will say this.
Yeah?
since Ambrose and Rollins teamed together,
yep,
Ambrose has been the best he's been in about 3 years.
So I thought that the match was meh, and I thought the finishing sequence was good, though. Like, I wasn't into this match. But I wasn't either. I thought the finishing sequence was good, save the fact that Ambrose had just been beat up for 10 minutes and then basically no-sells everything after getting the pin and just celebrating like everything was fine, and he just wasn't beat up, left for dead 3 minutes ago.
That is my problem with the goddamn Usos.
Yep.
That whichever one of the twins, I don't know which it is, got his fucking ass beat.
Yep. Yeah.
Beat for 10 yep. minutes. And then, oh yeah, we're just going to steal the freaking Young Bucks super kicks and super kick and super kick and super yep. kick. And then, yeah, we're both fine.
Yeah, I remember. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And going back to what you said about Ambrose, I think Ambrose and Rollins being in the match together, you know, Ambrose looks the best he's looked in 3 years because he's not being relied upon to carry a match.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? He can be lazy still, but it's covered up by the fact that he can hit a move, and then Rollins does stuff afterwards, so he can lay around and be you know the lazy fuck he is.
Mm.
So, United States Championship, AJ Styles pinned Kevin Owens with Shane McMahon as the referee. I noticed that there was no Face of America Titantron or Owens' face on the entrance ramp when he came down, so I went, oh, he's losing.
Mm.
That angle's played out. To me, this is the first time I'll show this is the first time I'll show that I got excited while watching a match. You know, like usually when I watch wrestling, I get excited, rub my hands together, I pump my fist. I don't act like a freaking idiot, but I'm into it. You know, NXT, I was into it all night long. Like I'm exhausted. I had to pause it for a minute. You know, like it just. But yeah, this was the first night out. This was the first match all night that I actually got excited. And, you know, look how good these two guys are, where they're going for that segment where I think AJ Styles was trying to go up to do a crucifix on Owens. And my guess is he was going to try to roll him down for a sunset flip type thing. From the standing position, though, and then he would transition into the Styles Clash, but they kind of botched that spot. But still, they brought it right into a Styles Clash. Like, they saved the botch so it didn't look bad. That's how, like, kind of great they are. And to me, this is, you know, at this point, this was the best match of the night for me.
Yeah.
Up until that point? Yeah.
The Bliss and Banks match, I think, was the best.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I thought Shane... I thought they kind of did a good job of the commentators selling that, you know, like his how Shane would be in the way because, well, he doesn't know. And then, like, there was one bit where JBL actually made the comment of, like, the referee is supposed to, you know, like, walk the opposite way of the wrestlers. So, like, when the wrestlers are kind of circling each other, they're always going to circle, you know, counterclockwise, and he's supposed to go clockwise type of thing, so that way you're not running into each other or whatever. He didn't know when to be in, you know, to be out of the way. But I think they just went to the well way too many times with Shane getting bumped.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
Next up was Jinder Mahal against Shinsuke Nakamura, and this is, without a doubt, the worst Shinsuke Nakamura match I have ever seen. And I'm counting New Japan, Rev Pro, Ring of Honor, NXT, WWE. This is the worst match of his I have ever, ever seen. I mean, legit, I thought this match was really bad. The pacing was bad. The finish was super bad. And the crowd wasn't into it. I mean, like... You would think when he beat up the Bollywood brothers that the crowd would have popped for that. They really didn't.
Right. Yeah.
And then he just walks in and Mahal grabs him, but he can't even grab him quick and hit his move. It takes him a minute to grab, you know, it takes him some time to actually get it set up where you think Nakamura would have a chance to try to get out of it. And then he hits his shitty looking Cobra Clutch slam and gets the pin.
Yep.
And basically just buries Nakamura.
Yep.
Because the guy who was the savior of NXT, the greatest wrestler to come out of New Japan Pro Wrestling this decade, you know, on and on and on, loses to Jinder fucking Mahal. with one finishing move. And after beating him up the entire match, it was stupid. Stupid.
I agree.
You know, even Nakamura beating up, you know, getting the, taking on the Singh brothers in a 2-on-1 handicap match on Tuesday and getting the win, and then laying out Mahal with the Kinshasa, you know what I mean, the knee to the face. I can't say it tonight, so knee in the face.
I don't get the whole thing. I really don't.
Well, here's what I know. They tore India in September, and then in October they have their Hell in the Cell Raw only pay-per-view, and I think that's when finally Mahal's going to lose the belt. Sorry, the SmackDown only pay-per-view in October, and that's when he'll finally lose the belt.
Probably.
And then the main event, Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar defended his title against Reigns, Strowman, and Samoa Joe. My favorite part of the whole match was at the beginning when Michael Cole said, "The one thing that Roman Reigns has that the other two don't is experience in the ring with Brock Lesnar." Really, Cole? Really? Like, did you not see the pay-per-view the month before that Samoa Joe headlined against Brock Lesnar, the one called?
He didn't call that. Or any other things on Raw.
You know, I mean, come on. Like, okay, yeah, Braun Strowman has never had a match with Brock Lesnar. Samoa Joe has. Yeah. They just headlined a pay-per-view, Aaron. We talked about it on this show.
No, I don't think so. Didn't happen. Michael Cole works there. He would know. Just like the
And no one tried to correct him. Normally when Cole says something stupid, JBL will correct him. No one even tried to correct him on that one.
My absolute favorite moment of the entire pay-per-view, besides Cesaro ripping up the beast ball.
That was funny.
Was when they were announcing all of the international
commentators.
And they get to the French announce table. And the names on the TV, I don't know what the names are. I don't remember. But whatever they were, the names that Michael Cole announced were two totally different names. And I was dying of laughter.
Nice.
I mean, it would be like the names, the two people up there. It's like Bill Smith and John Williams. And he's like, "And here's Rene Dupree and, you know, Jean-Paul Jones." And you're just like, what the fuck? Like, it's not even – I know who those people are you're talking about. One was a wrestler here. That's not him.
Awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, Jacques Rougeau.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Rougeau wrestled for them.
He was not there.
He was one of the fabulous Rougeau brothers.
But he was not there for SummerSlam.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to remember, like, the previous pay-per-view, that's who they had, was Jacques Rougeau.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that he announced him and somebody else, and I'm like, no, that's no.
That's phenomenal. That's so many levels of awesome right there.
Yeah.
Oh, hell. So anyways, what'd you think of the match?
I like that they show Braun Strowman as, like, just an unbelievable wrecking crew.
Yeah, yeah. He's a big man.
I don't like how – two things I absolutely hate about this match.
Okay.
Number one, when Braun Strowman was destroying Lesnar on the outside of the ring.
Sure.
Reigns and Samoa Joe were nowhere.
Yeah, like, why weren't they at least fighting in the ring on the other side of the ring? Even if they just had him in a freaking chin lock.
They helped, throw Lesnar through a wall.
Yep.
You know, something.
I will say that spear that Reigns gave Brock through the barricade was very impressive. It looked like he caught Brock off guard and destroyed him. But otherwise, I did like how Strowman came out looking so strong in this match. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yep.
I liked how they teased it a little bit, the two of them, you know, facing off each other when Reigns and Joe broke it up first, the first time around. you know, only for them a couple minutes later to actually get their hands on each other. I like that. I thought Samoa Joe looked good. I thought Roman Reigns showed that he's a fucking idiot because instead of standing there in the corner and every single time you do a spear, you have to like do your hand motion and do your yell first. Just fucking spear the guy, okay? Seriously, like three times in that match I can think of, he did his 30-second setup before spearing the guy, and it's like just spear him, just get it over with.
I like how the crowd didn't really cheer along with him.
Just spear him, you know. Same thing with like, oh, I gotta cock my fist every time before I punch you in the face, so I'm gonna do it. Just punch him. Just punch him. Just jump and punch him. Just okay. Stop this cocking your hand shit. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I like that Reigns got pinned.
Yeah, the other part of the match that I absolutely detest is taking Lesnar out on a stretcher.
They've done it way too much.
And then having him come back.
Yeah, I hated that. I hated that. I thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
I absolutely hated it. Have him just lay on the ground selling for a long time. He just got put through three tables. It's okay for him to sell for 15, for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you want him to. But, yeah, putting him on a stretcher, carting him to the back, no. No, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah, especially when he's going to walk to the ring and people try and stop him. But, like, halfway down the ramp, doctors or whoever are just like, okay, you can go.
The only time I've seen that done where I thought, okay, that makes sense, and holy crap, okay, that's awesome, was Hell in a Cell 1998 with Mankind, King of the Ring 98 with Mankind. Hell in a Cell against Taker. Where they tried to stretch him out, and you're like, yeah, he needs to be stretchered out. And then he just kind of like falls off the stretcher and then gets back and fights his way through him to climb the cage again. Mm-hmm. It worked that night.
Yeah.
It worked that night. And I don't think that was a worked spot. I think they really were stretchering him out of it. And he said, you know what I mean? The only other time I've seen someone on a stretcher I thought it worked great was when they strapped down Rey Mysterio and put the neck brace on him and the head things and everything. And then Brock Lesnar took and swung him attached to the board and smashed him against the ring post.
Yeah.
And then Rey Mysterio fell face first, unprotected on the ground. I thought that worked well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, I would rate NXT TakeOver as a tremendously better show than SummerSlam.
I don't think it's any comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. So, yeah, there we have it. I guess real quick, do you have anything you want to say about Raw or SmackDown or
Global I'm confused. Force
Wrestling? Or
I'm confused about something on SmackDown.
Sure.
So you have American Alpha.
Oh, yep.
Who's great.
Yep.
And they decide that they want to break them up before they give them like a lengthy title run or something.
Yeah.
So they go to break them up, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna make them singles guys."
Uh-huh.
So then, you have Gable, who you're now gonna team up with Shelton Benjamin, who's just like an older version
of Jason,
maybe
Jordan.
maybe a little more athletic, but just basically the exact same thing as Jordan.
Yep,
and like, what the fuck? Just keep American Alpha together. They need tag, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. Or have Gable be Kurt Angle's love child and team Jason Jordan and Shelton Benjamin together.
Yeah.
Because what would be cool about that is if they wore matching gear, they could do the old Killer Bees gimmick and put masks on midway through the match and switch places. Yeah. No? Okay.
Sorry, I was coughing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It's all, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you.
And like, why isn't he on the show with Kurt Angle? Like, if you were to tell me that Jason Jordan was Shelton Benjamin's son, I would have believed that more than Kurt Angle.
That's kind of funny. All right, now I got to know how old Shelton Benjamin is.
30.
You think he's 40 yet?
No, he's probably like 38, 39.
All right, so let's see here. Shelton Benjamin is 42 years old. And Jason Jordan is...
You know, I guess that makes sense because...
Jason Jordan is 28 years old. So I mean, he'll be 29 this year. So
I guess it does make sense because when Shelton Benjamin came in, I was like my early 20s, so he probably would have been a little bit older.
Dude, he debuted in the WWE 15 years ago. So yeah. So makes sense. 42. Jeez. That's older than I thought. Anyhow. Okay. Well, I got a Limitless Wrestling show coming up if you're in the New England area. Quick, get your tickets now to Friday, February 22nd in Westbrook, Maine for Limitless Wrestling. Their show, Question the Answers, you can check them out at limitlesswrestling.com. Going to have Jack Swagger on the card, Ace Romero, Anthony Green, A.R. Fox, Teddy Hart, Hornswoggle, Jimmy Lloyd, Josh Briggs, Dick Justice, Jay Freddy, Joey Janela, Joey Ryan, John Silver, JT Dunn, LAX. I think that now they're technically the former Global Force Wrestling Tag Team Champions, but that might not air for a while. So they might still be the current champions come September the 22nd. Let's see here. Now I'm curious. Yeah, let's see here. Ugh. What? What's wrong?
Nah, just stupid cold. It's just killing me. I'm surprised I've been able to catch pretty much all of it. I don't think too many have snuck through with my mute.
I haven't really heard anything.
Fantastic. I apologize to any listener if I've been coughing in your ear.
Oh, technically, it's a live show. No, here it is. Ohio versus Everything, Dave and Jake Crist, which they're a great tag team. They won the belts from Latin America Exchange technically on August 20th. However, it will not air until September 21st. So, yeah. Anyhow, so there you go. Spoiler alert. But I guess that's it for me.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Then, all right, well, hey, find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. We've got handles. We've got things. I'm at SuperstarML.
I'm at Aaron S. Bell.
The show is at What Did You Watch? Wait, that's my other show. Check that one out, too. That show is at something. Don't forget Ronnie. He is at...
1,000 holds pod.
Ron Bar 316.
Ronnie's at Ron Bar 316.
That was my new way of screwing up the Twitter for the show. And the Facebook is Podcast of 1,000 Holds. So, yeah.
Seriously, my throat hurts too much for me to even begin to think about yelling something.
Fair enough.